waiting, let me just encourage you. In the 11 o'clock service, it's possible that we'll have a larger than normal crowd. And for those of you that are regulars, members or otherwise, if you'll just be aware of that, we might need to make some room. And I wouldn't ask you not to sit where you normally sit. Now, I don't want a dissension among the ranks here in the brethren, but just be aware of that if we have folks who are coming in who need chairs. And that'll be a good problem to have, won't it? Okay, I'm sorry, folks. We don't have extra copies. Could maybe a couple who have two copies forfeit one? Oh, we got them. Oh, don't be too anxious, you people. You know what I mean? All right. In the back row, gentlemen there. Anybody else? Thank y'all. Thanks, Phil. This morning we continue with our study on the names of God. This is our ninth lesson. And we begin actually a series of lessons on the compound names using Jehovah or Yehovah or Yahweh. And it's a blessing, I must say, as we study these things. It's just it's an encouragement, and I hope some of that comes out this morning. This is not a stale or a boring study for me. It's just a blessing. And how could it be, really? How could it be? I saw a post that someone put on Facebook this week, and it was five things that millennials don't want to hear in church. And it basically said, well, millennials, our generation's pretty narcissistic. So we want to hear basically, what can God do for me? Now, if that is our purpose this morning in meeting together, then I think two things. I think we're wrong. I know we're wrong. The next thing is we're going to be disappointed, because our purpose this morning is to learn of Him and to worship Him. And that's not boring to the true child of God. It might be to the churchgoer, but it's not to the true redeemed child of God. As we learn more of Him, it broadens. The study does. Our understanding of Him broadens, gets bigger. And as we see it manifest in these lessons, the more we study, it seems the bigger the whole subject gets. And so it has been a blessing to me as we looked at these things. And we'll look at three compound names this morning with Jehovah. And the first is Jehovah Nissi. Jehovah Nissi. And that means the Lord our banner. The Lord our banner. And we find this in Exodus chapter 17. And I normally have you turn to a place starting off. We didn't do that this morning, but if you'd like to turn to Exodus 17, that's where we begin. And then there is one place in Genesis that we'll look at together, time permitting, as we get deeper into the study. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner. In Exodus chapter 17, verses 15 and 16, we read, "And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. For he said, because the Lord hath sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation." And so as we look at the word Nissi, we don't have a lot of instances of the uses particularly of Jehovah Nissi. In fact, this is the only one. But we can glean from what Moses was trying to say as we look at the word Nissi. And as we see in Psalm 60, verse 4, "Thou hast given him a banner." A banner, here's the same word, "to them that fear thee, that it may be displayed
because of the truth. Selah. Our banner this morning, the flag that we wave, it is very popular nowadays in churches to have American flag, Christian flag. You can have your opinion pro or con on that. But our banner is neither, frankly, as God's people. Our banner is Him. Our banner is Christ, and we'll see that as we go on. It is based on His truth. The banner is a triumph for God's people. Paul says, more than conquerors in Christ. In Isaiah 62, verses 10 through 12, go through the gates, prepare you the way of the people, cast up the highway, gather out the stones, lift up a standard. Here's our word, nisi, a standard for the people. Behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the world, say ye to the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. And they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. And thou shalt be called sought out, a city not forsaken. It is a triumph. The Jehovah Nissi, our banner, is a triumphant thing that we wave. We've been sought out, not forsaken. It is a terror, this banner. The Romans had their standard that they held up, just like all armies do. And we mentioned last week the destruction of Jerusalem. I've been a student of that somewhat, and it is amazing some of the things that happened. But there was the eagle. There was the eagle of the Roman army standing, besieging the nation of Israel, the walls. The standard held high, this is Rome. And as the servants of God in judgment, a terrifying thing. We have enjoyed many years of freedom. At least we think it's many years in America. It's not that many in the grand scheme. But there are those who would like to raise up a different standard over America. And when you think about that, having grown up free, it almost seems like an impossibility, but it's not. And what a terror it would be this morning when you drove up to church if standing before the door was the enemies of God and their standard held high and they say, you will not worship God in this place. What a terror that would be. A terror. In our standard, Jehovah Nissi is a terror. A terror to God's enemies. Jeremiah 51, set up the standard upon the walls of Babylon. Make the watch strong. Set up the watchmen. Prepare the ambushes, for the Lord hath both devised and done that which he spake against the inhabitants of Babylon. Our banner, then, as we've already said, is fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah 11, verse 10, and in that day there shall be a root of Jesse. Who's that? Which shall stand for an ensign. There's your word, nisi, an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. I've told you that we're saving the fulfillment scriptures in the New Testament for further study, but I couldn't resist in giving you a taste of what is coming, and that Christ is the fulfillment of all of these names, including Jehovah Nissi, the Lord, our banner, our standard, our ensign. It means something else, and I'll save that for those further studies when we see Christ in all of these. And maybe you can be thinking about what other physical object Nissi might mean. Flag, you know, standard. There's another that Jesus Christ was and is. And I'm looking forward to getting into that. So you be thinking about that. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord, our banner. The next two this morning are very close together. We have mentioned in two previous lessons the word roi, roi. We mentioned El Roi, God hath seen. El Roi. This morning we speak of Jehovah Ra'ah, or Roi. Jehovah Roi. And it is the Lord my shepherd. The Lord my shepherd. It is very close to Roi. Ra'ah, in fact, there's no difference in the English translation. Ra'ah, Ra'ah. They're very close. One means shepherd and one means to see. And on its surface, perhaps it might seem like those are not really that close together in meaning. But as we will see, I hope, they are very close together. Now, Roi, Jehovah Ra'ah, Roi, the Lord my shepherd, could also be translated the Lord my friend, because this Hebrew word speaks of an intimate desire for friendship, or a true desire, I should say, a true desire for intimate friendship. And this was a blessing to me as I studied this. Our shepherd, child of God, listen, your shepherd, he is not running around the edges of the fold waiting to smack you with the staff the moment you get out of line. I'm afraid sometimes we have a concept of God that way. He is our shepherd, Jehovah Ra. He is our friend. I was reminded this week as my daughter had some terrible things happen to her pets. I was reminded how that we become fond of those animals. And there's something about that relationship. It's kind of strange, and it might be a little bit out of order sometimes when we name our pets. You know, we name our pets. You know, we haven't always done that. People haven't always named animals. But we do, we name them, and everybody here knows Frankie, right? We know Frankie, and he runs the place down here. He's the sheriff of Sovereign Acres down here, I call him, or the mayor, I guess. But there's a relationship there with those animals. They become loyal, and there's something that you can't really express in words. And I do not mean any disrespect this morning when we speak of the Lord our shepherd. And yet we can almost see the compassion in the shepherd and the sheep metaphor. Because if you know anything about sheep, my dad raised sheep when he grew up on a farm, and my grandfather and him raised sheep, and he said they're just pathetic. Sheep are pathetic creatures. He said, Rick, if you weren't careful, you could walk around the edge of the barn, sheep would be standing there, and you would spook that sheep. He'd have a heart attack and die on you. I mean, just like that. They're pathetic creatures. And it's not lost. This metaphor is not lost on us. Listen, we're pretty frail sometimes, aren't we? And I say to you again that our shepherd, Jehovah Ra'ah, he's not walking around ready to smack you with the staff. He is a compassionate shepherd. He is our friend. The shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. We see it in Jesus, of course. We see it in his seeking that one sheep who was lost, bringing him back on his shoulders. There is love. There is compassion. There is tenderness. He is our friend. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want, that famous Psalm 23. He is the feeder of his sheep. In Genesis 48:15, he blessed Joseph and said, God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which fed me all my life. The God which fed me all my life. In Ezekiel, I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord. He is that tender and gentle shepherd. Isaiah writes of him when he says, "He shall feed his flock like a shepherd." Now see the tenderness here, the compassion. "He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom. And he shall gently lead," not harshly drive, but gently lead those that are with young. Our shepherd, Jehovah Ra'ah. He is the strength of Israel. In Genesis 49, verse 24, "But his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel." Let there be no mistake. While the shepherd is compassionate, he is a harsh defender of his sheep. You see that in the life of David epitomized, do we not? And the bear and the lion. Don't threaten the sheep. Don't threaten them. Babylon was used in judgment, and yet Babylon, as we saw, was responsible for what they did and suffered fierce judgment of God. He is that promised good shepherd. In Ezekiel 34:23, "I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David, he shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd." Did not Jesus pray for this in John 17, that there may be one fold? Did he not speak in John 10, "I am the good shepherd, other sheep have I, who are not of this fold. I'll bring them and there will be one," the Lord Jesus Christ, of course, that promised good shepherd. And then, thirdly this morning, Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Jireh. Now, this is where it gets a little confusing if we're not careful. Because Roy and Ra'ah and Jireh are all from the basic same root word. Jehovah Jireh. Now, you may have learned Jehovah Jireh as our provider. In Genesis chapter 22, verse 14, Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. We saw this Sunday evening with Brother Gary preaching on the faith of Abraham. "As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen." All right? Jehovah Jireh. It means, yes, it does mean our provider, but let's look what that means. What does it mean, he's our provider? The word literally means, as we've said, Ra means to see. Now, if we're not careful here, we will put the definition in a box of our understanding. It has nothing to do with our eyeballs or the eyes of the Lord in a strict sense. It has more to do, I should say, than that. And the word could be translated, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord sees. From the Hebrew word ra'ah, meaning to see, to look at, to inspect, to perceive, to consider. Ra'ah is used over 1,300 times in the Old Testament. And it is translated in our King James Bibles, see, look, behold, show, appear, consider, seer, there is a noun, spy, respect, perceive, provide, there it is, regard, enjoy, lo, foreseeth, heed, miscellaneously, 74 times. So 1,300 times Ra'ah is used in the Old Testament. El-Roi, who we spoke of a few weeks ago, the God who sees, is another compound name using this root word. Therefore, though Jehovah Jireh is used only once in the Scriptures, there in Genesis chapter 22, the meaning of the name is far-reaching. And we could interpret Jehovah Jireh as He, the Lord, sees. the Lord sees. And we see some instances of this in the Scripture. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 31, He sees and assesses. God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good. Often this word ra'ah is used in Genesis chapter 1. He sees and He assesses the bad as well. In Genesis 6, and God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted His way upon the earth. So here is the implication here is that God not only observes, but God assesses. Jehovah Jireh is the one who sees. The Lord sees. He sees with eyes of judgment and mercy. In Exodus chapter 12, And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I ra'ah the blood, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And then in Psalm 31, I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy, for thou hast considered, there's the same word, my trouble. Thou hast known my soul in adversities. Jehovah Jireh is the Lord sees. He sees with eyes of compassion and purpose. The psalmist writes, though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect. That word respect is a translation or the English for ra'ah. He has respect unto the lowly, but the proud He knoweth afar off. And I said we would look at a scripture, and here it is, Genesis chapter 16. If you don't mind to turn there, I'd like to spend a little time here. Genesis chapter 16. Now, I don't know, when we think of Ishmael, when we think of Hagar, you know, as Abraham's seed, we don't normally regard, I should say, as Abraham's seed of promise, we don't normally highly regard Ishmael and Hagar. And indeed, God said, send them away. But I want you to see the heart of the Lord in this passage of Scripture. In Jehovah Jireh. Now, Sarah, Abram's wife, bare him no children. And she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarah said unto Abram, behold, now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarah. And so here is our propensity to take matters into our own hands instead of waiting on God. But that's another sermon altogether. Verse 3, and Sarah, Abraham's wife, took Hagar, her maid, to the Egyptian after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. And he went unto Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. And Sarah said unto Abram, my wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid into thy bosom. And when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee. But Abram said unto Sarah, behold, thy maid is in thy hand. Do to her as it pleaseth thee. And when Sarah dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face. And the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way of Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarah's maid, whence comest thou? And whither wilt thou go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress Sarah. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, return to thy mistress and submit thyself unto her hands. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly. It shall not be numbered for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, behold, thou art with child, and shall bear a son, and shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. And he will be a wild man. His hand will be against every man, every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. And she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, thou God seest me. There is El Roi. For she said, Have I also here looked after him that seeth me? Wherefore the well was called Beer Lahai Roi. See that name? Beer Lahai Roi. Roi. Because, behold, it is between Kadesh and Bered. And so God is the God who sees. And he sees with eyes of compassion and purpose. Was Ishmael the promised heir? Not a chance. Was Hagar to be the mother, if you will, of the patriarchs? Not a chance. Sarah had dealt harshly with her. And here comes the Lord, Jehovah Jireh, the God who sees, says, I'm going to take care of you. As a matter of fact, I've got big plans. I've got big plans for you. The Lord sees. And then we could translate or interpret that word Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will be seen. The Lord will be seen. In Genesis chapter 12, verse 7, and the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And the Lord, the Lord appeared unto Abram. Jehovah, Jireh, the God who will be seen. Unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him, revealing therefore his promises. This God who will be seen, he appeared to Abraham, revealing his will. In chapter 26, the Lord appeared unto him and said, go not down into Egypt, dwell in the land. Jehovah Jireh, the God who will be seen, the God who will appear. Jehovah Jireh, reassuring his people in Genesis 26. And the Lord appeared unto him the same night and said, I am the God of Abraham, thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee and will bless thee and will multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. The Lord, Jehovah, appeared. Jehovah, Jireh. That word appeared. Jehovah, Ra. The Lord appeared, reassuring his people. Redeeming his people. In Exodus 14, Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. The Lord will be seen. Restoring his people. In Zechariah 9, and the Lord shall be seen over them. And his arrow shall go forth as the lightning. And the Lord God shall blow the trumpet and shall go with whirlwinds of the south. So, the question is, what did Abraham really mean when he said, Jehovah Jireh? What did he really mean? Did he really mean God will see? Or God will be seen? Or as we have learned the interpretation, the meaning of Jehovah Jireh, did he mean God will provide? And of course the answer is yes. Yes to all. Because Jehovah Jireh is God provides. The Lord provides. In Genesis 22, that famous scripture, and Abraham said, my son, God will provide. God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. The Lord provides. He provides a lamb. He provides himself a lamb. I like that. He provides himself a king. In 1 Samuel 16, verse 1, and the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil and go. I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king. I have provided. Ra. When we use the word see, Jehovah Ra, Jehovah Roi, El Roi, God sees. And then we say, no, Jehovah Ra is, the Lord is my shepherd. There is no contradiction. Because when God sees, God provides. When God sees your need, God provides for your need. If I tell my son, raccoons got in the trash last night, see to it. And he walks up and he says, Dad said, see it. I see it. I'm going to play ball. It's going to be a bad day. Yeah, it's going to be a bad outcome there. Why? Because I didn't mean go look at it. Now, he's 27. It's a little different now. A little. I didn't mean go look at it. I meant see to it. See to it. Jehovah Ra. Jehovah Jireh. He is the Lord who sees to it. What are we going to do, Dad? I see everything for the sacrifice, but where's the lamb? Abraham says, the Lord will see to it. The Lord will provide. Isn't that a blessing? He provides. He provides himself a lamb. He provided himself a king. The Lord said unto Samuel, I just read that, I have provided me a king. He provides himself for his own. Notice how I worded that. I did it on purpose. He provides himself for his own. There be many that say, who will show us any good? Psalm 4. Who will show us? There is Ra'ah. Who will show us any good? Lord Jehovah, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. Thou hast put gladness in my heart, more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. The answer for the psalmist is him. Him. He is the answer. He has provided himself. He has provided himself a lamb. And that's the good news for the sinner this morning, who comes to the end of himself, crying out, men, brethren, what shall we do? The answer is, God has provided himself a lamb. And the Lord Jesus Christ saves sinners even to this day. It is good news for those of us who worship the Lord. We worship a king. He has provided himself a king, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. But you who are born again and working, I say work on, but when our service becomes our God, we have a problem. And I would just say it like this. The pinnacle of spiritual maturity. In other words, the best that we know, in my opinion, in this life, when it comes to our relationship with God, is not found in our many accomplishments for Him. But it comes when we realize, and I said a point, I don't even know if it's a point in our lives that we can put our finger on, But when your life is epitomized by this attitude, God Himself becomes all that you want and all that you need. That's as good as we get in this life. So I'm working harder. I've known too many people who have burned out working harder. Listen, when God becomes all that you want and all that you need, you better strap on the tool belt because you're going to be working. But that's the top. Until we see Him face to face, that's the pinnacle. I believe Paul exhibited that. In fact, he said so. I have suffered the loss of all things. And what was his goal? That I may know, experience Him. Jesus had become all that Paul had, having suffered the loss of everything temporal, but he had become all that Paul needed and wanted. That's where we should strive. Jehovah Jireh, our provider. He has provided the Lamb. He has provided a King sitting on the throne, and He provides Himself to us. Bless His name. Thank You, dear Father. Thank You that we have but scratched the surface when we consider Your love and compassion for Your people. Father, we have but entered into the thoughts of the love that You had when You sent Your only begotten Son, that precious Lamb of glory. But Father, we rejoice in these things and we look for more knowledge and understanding of You, realizing that we are what we are by Your grace, that You have wondrous things in store for those that You love. And we thank You and praise Your name because through and by the blood and finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ, we have access, we have promises, we have blessings, we have You. And Father, I pray for the lost person here today who is at the end of himself. Father, may he look and see that ram caught in the thicket. You're providing yourself a lamb. Father, for that Christian this morning who is perhaps tired and cumbered about with much serving, I pray, Father, that first would come in our lives a hunger and thirst for You, because You are our provider and You provide Yourself to us. Strengthen the brethren, we pray. Save of all sinners this day. Glorify Yourself in this place and in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.